Greetings and welcome to Psalms podcast series. Detection of failure, 1208.10.3, they require some sort of a detection. Detection of failure, period. Each gas piping system for which an overpressure protection device is required in this section shall be designed and installed so that a failure of the primary pressure control devices is detectable. 1208.10.4, flow capacity. If a pressure relief valve is used to meet the requirement of this section, it shall have a flow capacity that such that the pressure in the protected system is maintained at or below the limit specified in section 1208.9 under the following conditions. 1. The line pressure regulator for which the relief valve is providing overpressure has failed wide open. 2. Gas pressure at the inlet of the line pressure regulator for which relief valve is providing overpressure protection is not less than the regulator's operating inlet pressure. So the flow capacity will be limited to the pressures that it was designed. All of these are primarily to match the NFPA guidelines. 1209.0 is excess flow valve. 1209.1, general. Where automatic excess flow valves are installed, they shall be listed Canadian Standard Association Z21.93 and shall be sized and installed with the manufacturer's installation instructions. The word shall be sized and was added for this section. So really, the primary protocol here is to make sure that the NFPA 54-2015 and the IAPMO regulations are at the same pace, are at the same level. So they were simply in harmony together now. Section 1210.1 is piping underground. 1210.1, piping underground. 1210.1.1, cover requirements. Underground piping systems shall be installed with minimum 12 inches of cover. My goodness, please avoid 12 inch. Be at least 24, at least, if not more. The minimum cover shall be increased to 18 inches if external damage to the pipe or tubing from the external forces is likely to result. What happens if there is a vehicular traffic? What happens if it is trucks versus cars? I really suggest do not be at 18, be at 24 or 36 even. Where a minimum of 12 inch cannot be provided, pipe shall be installed in conduit or bridged or parentheses shielded. So if you do not meet the 12 inch, now you got to put additional protection of the pipe. But again, don't forget, if it's grass or landscape, the guy who is doing the landscape work with the one simple shovel will get into this pipe. If it is pedestrian traffic, or a car, or a truck, they all make a difference in impacting to these pipes. 1210.1.3, protection against corrosion. As you know, corrosion is a chemical galvanic reaction where when you have anode and cathode, you will create some sort of an electrical discharge, and that creates corrosion. A good number of lines were deleted. However, the following lines were added. Steel pipes and steel tubing installed underground shall be installed in accordance to section 1210.1.3.1 through section 1210.1.3.9, which we are going to be looking at. 1210.1.3.1, zinc coating. Zinc coating shall not be deemed adequate protection for underground gas piping. 1210.1.3.2, underground piping. Underground piping shall comply with one of the following unless approved technical justification is provided to demonstrate that protection is unnecessary. Three of them are: 1. Piping shall be made of corrosion resistance material that is suitable for the environment which is installed. If you have an old farm, the farms have high methane content and high corrosive content. 2. Pipe shall have factory applied electrically insulating coating, fittings and joints between sections of the coated pipe shall be coated in accordance with the coated manufacturing installation. Mind you that there is a galvanic electrolysis that is happening, and they are trying to make sure that these are electrically insulated coatings. That's item number 2. That includes the fittings, pipes, everything. Item number 3, the pipe shall have a cathodic protection system installed where the system shall be maintained in accordance to the section 1210.1.3.3 or section 1210.1.3.6. What this particular cathodic protection is that you are technically diverting the electron movements somewhere else so that the pipe will not be damaged through this corrosion process. 1210.1.3.3 is cathodic protection. Cathodic protection system shall be monitored by testing and results shall be documented. Test results shall demonstrate that one of the following: pipe to soil voltage minus 0.85 volts or more negative is produced. With reference to a saturated copper sulfate half cell. Item number 2, pipe to soil voltage of minus 0.78 voltage or more negative is produced for referencing the saturated KCI calomel half cell. And item number 3, pipe to cell voltage is minus 0.8 volt or more negative is produced with a reference to a silver chloride half cell. And number 4, compliance with a method described in Appendix D of Title 249 of the Code of Federal Regulations. How would you be tackling this? Sacrificial anode. Essentially, you place the same way as batteries are. You simply connect the piping with a wire to an anode, where the anode with time will dissipate and shall be tested in accordance with the following. 1, upon installation of cathodic protection system, except where prohibited by climate conditions, in which the case study testing shall be performed no later than 180 days of the installation, 12 to 18 months after initial test. That's the time that it'll be dissipated and you have to alter. Upon successful verification testing, in accordance with section 1210.1.3.4 and other sections, periodic follow-up testing shall be performed at intervals not exceed 36 months. So they just want to make sure that whatever you've done is at least valid for the next 36 months. System failing test. System failing a test shall be repaired in not more than 180 days after data fail testing. And you have to bring the system back and redo the work. Impressed current cathodic protection is 1210.1.3.6. 1210.1.1.3.7 is documentation. Document. Dissimilar metals is in 1210.1.3.8 that they do believe that it's going to cause a cathodic reaction if you don't put it in. And steel risers, other than the anode-less risers connected to a plastic piping, shall be cathodically protected by means of welding mode, anode. So even if you do have a steel riser, the probability does allow for you to put this cathodic protection. So to go back, 1210.1 pipe underground, they just want to make sure that you protect the pipe that you have buried into the ground. Because there are cases that the pipe could simply dissipate because of massive corrosion. The next section is partially electrical, partially NFPA. Section 1211.0, electrical bonding and grounding. 1211.2, bonding of CSST gas piping. As you know, CSST gas piping is the flexible metal piping with generally with a yellow jacket. CSST gas piping system, and gas piping system containing one or more segments of CSST, shall be bonded to the electrical service ground system or where provided lightning protection grounding electrode system. First of all, the entire electrical system piping of a building is grounded, what's called body safety grounding. And they want to make sure that this gas piping is also grounded because technically gas piping can act as a conduit, and the content of this conduit is gas, which is highly flammable. Lightning protection grounding electrical system, that is generally where you have Florida, which is the epicenter of all the lightning in the country. That's where you need to address that as well. 1211.2.1, bonding jumper connection. Bonding jumper shall connect to a metallic pipe, pipe fitting or CSST fitting. So that is a bonding jumper for electrical connection. Bonding jumper size, the bonding jumper shall not be smaller than 6 gauge of number 6 copper wire or equivalent. And next one is 1211.2.3, bonding jumper length, the length of a jumper between a connection of a gas piping and a grounding electrical system shall not exceed 75 feet. Any additional electrical electrodes shall be bonded to the electrical service grounding electrode systems or provided, lighting protection grounding and grounding electrode system. Bonding connection generally is a mechanical pressure of two coppers against each other. Devices used for bonding. Devices used for bonding shall be listed in accordance to NC 476 or NFPA 547.